Our gospel lesson today is from the Gospel of Mark. You'll find it on page 874, chapter 7, beginning with verses 1. After five Sundays in the Gospel of John, the lectionary returns us today to Mark, which is the primary gospel of this lectionary year of year B. And this is a familiar story, though I think sometimes it's misinterpreted if we merely see the Pharisees as the petty legalists out to feather their own caps. They were faithful Jewish teachers and keepers of the culture. The story, I think, moreover, invites us to examine how we may be living in comfortable but outmoded ways. Listen now for the word. Now when the Pharisees gathered together to him with some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem, they saw that some of the disciples ate with hands defiled, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands, observing the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they purify themselves. And there are many other traditions which they observe, the washing of cups and pots and vessels of bronze. And the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with hands defiled?" And he said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. You leave the commandment of God and hold fast the tradition of men.'" And he called the people to him again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a man which by going into him can defile him. But the things which come out of a man are what defile him. For from within, out of the heart of man, comes evil thoughts, fornication, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a man." May God add a blessing to the hearing of this word. Well, about 10 years ago, actually 10 years ago this January, I was a student ministerial intern in a church in St. Louis, a necessary part of my preparation for ministry. You'll recall the interns we've had here in this congregation, Dwayne Coates, most recently last year. Earl Holt, who preached for us last February, was then the senior minister in the church I was in St. Louis. He has since been called to King's Chapel in Boston. I learned a lot from Earl that year. I learned a lot from the church that year during my internship. And there is still one lesson that I learned then that I continue to use each and every week of my ministry since then. It was from our church administrator, Marilyn Carpenter. Early in my experience, I think maybe it was the first Sunday I was there, or at least one of the early Sundays, she approached me before worship. And she said she was going to teach me something that she taught all of the interns, something that I needed to know. She said, after shaking hands in the line this morning, she admonished me. She said, "Wash your hands. You've just shaken hands with hundreds of people," she said, "and there's no telling where all those hands have been." Well, this advice struck me as sensible. And ever since then, and I am not exaggerating, ever since then, every Sunday morning, the first thing I do once I'm through receiving people is I go wash my hands. Now, there's a corollary teaching to Marilyn Carpenter's advice that I would pass on to you. And that is, if you shake the minister's hand on Sunday morning, you have just shook hands with everyone else in the congregation. So I would advise you, after shaking a minister's hand, go home and wash your hands. Especially the further back you are in the line, the more you need to do so, okay? So washing hands is not a bad thing. Our mothers and grandmothers have for centuries told us to wash our hands before we eat. And so in today's gospel stories, the Pharisees naturally question Jesus on why he approaches the table with defiled hands or unwashed hands. The Pharisees were especially observant and religious Jewish leaders, well-versed in the cultures and traditions of their faith. And they maintained these purity laws and others like them to keep them separate from the cacophony of people and religion surrounding them so that they were not absorbed into the prevailing and greater cultures. So purity laws in and of themselves are not necessarily a bad thing. But of course, the Pharisees had become preoccupied with the external observance of the law and less concerned with the spirit of that law. They were so concerned with how to conduct the ritual that they forgot the reason why they had the ritual. They confused the symbol of the thing for the thing itself. American philosopher Alfred North Whitehead had a term for this. He called it the fallacy of misplaced concreteness. It's kind of a big term. The fallacy of misplaced concreteness. Concreteness is something trying to express itself, something trying to become form. The Pharisees placed concreteness on the act of ritual washing and not on what this act symbolized, bringing a pure heart and mind to the table to receive the gifts of God's earth. Misplaced concreteness mistakes the idea of a thing for the thing itself, or holds on to a lesser good instead of the ultimate good that is the real goal. Today's gospel story, I think, fits into the larger pattern of how Jesus moves religion beyond the old cultic practices into a deeper form of relationship with God and expresses the growing conflict between the Jewish leaders of that era and the more free expression of religion that Jesus introduced. The story also asks us, and I think moreover asks us, to look at how we get caught up in the externals at times, how we place our heart on the wrong things. It asks us to look at how we are the Pharisees. So how might we be Pharisees? In what ways do we engage in ritual purity? Well, at church, of course, we can get stuck in the ways we've always done things. You'll recall Steve Pay's wonderful little joke about the light bulb, how many congregationalists it takes to change the light bulb. You know the answer to that. I don't even have to say it. Change, that my grandmother gave that light bulb, you know. Sometimes we're more interested in advancing the institution of church instead of the faith that it represents. We begin to think perhaps of ourselves as a certain kind of people. And we forget Matthew's great commission to go and make disciples of all the nations, of all the peoples, even and especially people not like us. Individually in our private lives, we get caught up in the chores, tasks, career success, all the things that can absorb so much of our time and substance. And we can do so to the neglect of those closest to us. We can chase material success as an end in itself instead of using that success as a means of helping to build the kingdom of God on earth. And of course, if we are looking at the ways we bring an impure heart to things, we can go right back to the laundry list that Jesus gives us in today's lesson. These inward thoughts that defile still ring amazingly contemporary in our own age. Fornication or unchastity, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. There's something in there for all of us, I dare say. When Jesus says there is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that proceed from a person are what defiles, he expresses his clarion affirmation to the deep truth that it is the heart, the consciousness, the inward drivers that matter. Jesus moves religion from an outward act of piety to an inward act of purity. The purity that inspires true and sincere acts of graciousness in the world. It's being the same person inwardly and outwardly. It is living maybe from the inside out. We are defiled or we are purified from within. And yet, I think today's lesson is not just about being okay in our interior worlds. So much of what passes for modern spirituality is all about us, things that make us feel good, things that make us feel peaceful inwardly. And Jesus is not talking here or elsewhere about a feel-good spirituality. Jesus is suggesting that what comes out of our hearts, what forms or what concretizes into our exterior world from our interior world, that how we live, that all of this makes a difference. Ultimately, this is about externals as much as internals. James said, "Be doers of the word, not merely hearers." Christian spirituality is about forming the internal habits of the heart that naturally manifest in good and gracious external works. It does matter how we live. And how we live should be grounded in our hearts and our interior worlds. We get in trouble, in fact, when we try to express something in form which isn't there in spirit. And sometimes maybe we know what ought to be there in our hearts, but just isn't. The truth is that we try, but sometimes we just don't have the strength of will to do the right things. We can't get it together to have the right thoughts. We know what we should be doing inwardly, but we just can't quite get there on our own. So what happens if we don't have the habits of heart to do right? What happens if we can't on our own kick our drinking habit? If we can't or don't stay faithful in our marriage? If we continue to be hyper-competitive at work, placing the rise to success over personal relationships with friends and family? If we wear our accomplishments as a badge of honor for all to see and place our self-worth there? If we can't bring ourselves to reconcile with someone? What happens if we just don't have or can't get the wherewithal to do the right thing? We just can't muster whatever it is we need to get things done. Here is what my preaching professor in seminary, Dr. Zan Holmes, has to say. This is from a video lesson in the new Disciples Bible Study that begins in October. You'll be hearing more about that. In Lectionary Bible 2 weeks ago, we saw this little lesson because I thought it fit well with the lesson that day. Zan is talking about the Lord's Supper and talking about the new covenant in relationship to the act of communion. And here's what he said. What's so new about the new covenant? The newness is that God's people are to be made new, not by new and better laws and rituals written on stone tablets. Now the law is to be written on the hearts of the people. In other words, the new covenant affirms that the heart of the problem is a problem of the heart. The heart of the problem is a problem of the heart. God thus promises to change the people from the inside out. What God's people cannot do for themselves, God will now do for them in an act of pure mercy and love. Their sinful past will be forgotten and forgiven. They will be reunited with God in a new relationship. Thus, the message of hope is a vision of a transformed world where people know and respond to God with transformed hearts. So, living from the inside out is not always having the will or the strength or the knowledge or the wherewithal to have a clean heart. Living from the inside out can be leaving ourselves open to be transformed by God. Living from the inside out is maybe in part admitting first that we don't know how to do that, by admitting powerlessness over it, and then paradoxically being given the strength of heart by the power of the living God. It is knowing that through grace, God will intervene on our behalf and do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. In a few moments, we will approach the Lord's table. We do so not out of a sense of ritual purity. This is not something that we must do on the first Sunday of each month, even though that is when we do it. We do this to experience the presence of the living God through the Son, Christ Jesus, who is present at the table. We come to the table on this Sunday as we come to church every Sunday, willing to let the Spirit of God transform us, knowing that it is not our works, it is not even our purity of heart that saves. It is through the new relationship with Christ Jesus where we are forgiven, restored, healed, transformed into the people God intends us to be. This is to have our hearts washed clean so that we can then live as we should. So may it be. Amen.